inside at last.
Welcome, fellow Taffers, to Inside at Last, the one and only thief-dedicated podcast. My name is Alex, and today I'm here with my fellow Taffers, Psychosis and Nex. Hello, guys.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, actually. And you?
Doing pretty well today. Looking forward to talk about the topic that we have.
And you, Nex?
Myself as well. It was a... had two good missions behind me and feeling good.
That's great. So just to put everyone into the scenario, today we will be talking about mission 2 and we will split the episode over 2 weeks to cover like some vacations so where we can't record, and we will also do mission 3. We at the moment we can't say if we can do it in order or if we will mix things together, but we'll see. In the last episode where Soth was joining us, we talked about the first missions of the two games, like in comparison, like how was Thief 1 and Thief 2 take the player by the hands, explain the mechanics, etc. And now we are going to Thief 2, Mission 2, Shipping and Receiving. How do you remember the mission, like maybe from back in the days, or basically what are your thoughts on this mission just in general?
I remember it being pretty open-ended, and that's why I actually enjoyed this mission a lot.
I remember the first time I started this mission, and it was after that first mission, which was pretty linear. Well, it's not that linear, but it's very basic. This one was like a little bit overwhelming at first, but then you start exploring, and it's just a lot to explore, a lot of secrets. I feel it's like
I can say, like, now again in comparison, like when I said in the last mission or episode, I was afraid, like the second mission from Thief 1 scared me to death almost. I was like 12 years, 11. And then when I started playing Thief 2, I was totally scared how the second mission will be in this game. And, you know, I did mission 1, which was like a really great introduction to the second game. And then the second mission began. And I was like, you know, I was stunned at the beginning. Like, I didn't know what to expect. And I really crawled under the first crates that are stapled there and stacked. And then I found out, yes, this is not a horror mission. There are no zombies. You know, it's like an open thing. It's like a natural environment or not natural in general, but it felt more natural to me, not from another world. And I loved it. I was so, you know, I was so happy that it was a normal thing. And this is what I remember. And I think the whole mission introduced like the more open gameplay of the Thief games.
I think it introduced that exploring aspect of the game.
No, but I always think of like Thief 1, I think many players left very soon because, you know, it didn't really care about, like I always say, taking you by the hand a bit, like, you know, introducing you to that. So I think I always had the feeling that they put more thought into that in the second game. And I think they achieved that way better. So the second mission makes really sense. Like the first one was just a basic thing, and now they give you like a huge playground to play on and to explore and to find out how it works. Like there are different ways to get into a building. You know, I don't have to use the doors. I can get up the ladder there. I can go down there, and blah blah blah. There are so many possibilities.
Yeah, that's probably like where Thief like level design kind of shines is when you make it very open-ended and allow players to kind of just traverse the map any way they want. So like if we're thinking back to Thief 1, you know, a lot of the better maps were like the Sword or what was the other one, Song of the Caverns, where it's like very open and you could just go wherever you want. And this mission, I think, is like where that's almost like perfected. You know, it like when you started the mission, did you go through the skylight? Or did you go through the staircase that's also up there? Or did you go around and go into one of the side, what do they call it, the lockers or whatever, the storage rooms? I'm asking you a question. Like, when you played it for the first time, how did you traverse the level? Like, what's the first thing you did?
I know my route. I just, of course, you start on the crates, mm-hmm. and then I just went, I don't know if it's north or south, but I just went for the next crates where you have that little tunnel.
Yeah.
And on the right is that so far locked building with the number plates where you can open the big doors.
Oh, control check.
Yes. And then I went on like where the first open, what do you call it? Like the huge rooms.
We can call it storage.
Storage rooms, actually, with a picture and the message. This was like always my route at the beginning.
Really, first into the art gallery,
the art museum. Yeah,
because I was really proud that I found this secret very fast. That, you know, I was 13. You know, it was like, hey, I got this clue right. You know.
Yeah, I think that storage room is like open by default.
Yes.
And that's actually a really cool mechanic in the mission is going and finding, I think a lot of them are actually written on the map, but I think a couple of them are hidden. And you have to type in the 4-digit code and it unlocks the door.
Yeah. I think the art museum is open by default only on,
yeah.
On expert, it's locked.
I think, yeah, you might be right. yeah, but that was the point that I was trying to get at before, was that, you know, your beginning is vastly different to how I start. I usually jump across the crates, and you can mantle on the other ones and then go up the ladder there.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Go up the next ladder and go in through the skylight immediately into building A.
That's your, isn't this part of your speed run as well?
Yes, but like even casually, like the very first time I played the mission, that's kind of like what was drawn to me. Was I saw the ladders there going up to the roof, and I was like, "Oh, I bet there's like a secret, you know, like stealthy, you know, Mission Impossible esque entrance into this building," and I really wanted to check it out.
You know, at my age, I couldn't do that. And, you know, I didn't think so far, like I couldn't put myself into a developer's perspective, like, oh, what could they have thought? Oh, maybe, yeah, I'm sure there is something. You know, today, is, of course, it's totally different. And I, you know, this mission, as I told you, why I liked it so much, because it took my fear away. I you know, it's always in my heart. It's a really special mission. I think we totally forget. Maybe we should like tell like what it's about. What is the story behind this? Because this is pretty simple.
Yeah,
but important.
It's like the most quintessential like thief like story is, I need to pay the rent. I'm gonna go hit up this warehouse dock and get some loot, and I'll be able to pay the rent.
It could be every third fan mission, right?
Yeah.
Was there a mission like that in Thief 1? Where you just went and looted for...
I think Baffert's might have been the only one, right?
No, but he should get the scepter. I think that was his goal. Oh, there was already someone who asked him for the job.
Yes. Yeah, I think on normal, yeah, you're right. On normal, this is the only mission, I think, that doesn't have like a main objective. I think on normal, all you have to do is collect the loot, right?
No, and the spices, I think.
No, that's on expert.
Yeah, on expert.
Expert. I played on expert, actually.
Yeah, spices is
expert. What about shipping label?
And I think the shipping label is on hard.
But please, let's go on. Like, okay, so the premise is that Thief, you know, you made mission one, you freed Genevieve for Besso, and then it goes to the next mission. And the premise is just, like you said, like Garrett needs money for the rent, and so he thinks like the easiest way to get some money, to collect some loot, is like at the docks. So he just goes there, and this still has no connection to the main story that will unfold later, but it does a lot. It already adds a lot to the lore in like little hints.
Yeah, at face value, it kind of like presents itself as like a normal mission. But like a lot of the, if you listen to a lot of the dialogues and you read some of the notes, you start getting hints of what's going on in the bigger picture of things.
That's what I wrote down in my notes. Like, yeah. I think maybe they overdid it a bit, because like now when I played this with a mindset for the podcast, analyzing the mission, I was like, okay, there is this letter here, where he mentions like Karas already. Then there are the two guards that are talking about the trees. Then there are the two civilians that are talking about the spices. And, you know, there's so much they throw it in your face.
Yeah, it kind of just smacks you.
So, like, they really wanted you to get some hints on what is going to come. You know, like, there's a crate. That scared me. This always scares me again when I forgot. When you come
the crate
into
with the bot,
yeah, right, with a little open hole, and you see it, yeah. And it was like, whoa, what's that? But this, of course, on the same time, you get really curious what is going on in the city, because it's not the city you left at Thief One,
yeah,
and that's like they put it in your face, but I think they still find like the sweet spot of doing this right and not overdoing it.
I mean, it's good for a mission that doesn't have its own dedicated story point to it. It's just observing, you know, the environment and listening to the stories. And this is all you have lore-wise within this mission.
Yeah.
And I think it's good because it kind of shows you how... I like the fact that, you know, the nobility and, let's say, middle class kind of like the mechanists, or perhaps nobility fear them just slightly because they might be invasive in their control. But the commoners or the guards definitely hated them. Commoners couldn't grow their plants. The plants are dying. This is the first time we also hear about this.
Yeah,
and it's good to show the relationship of different levels, you know.
I think the message is like, I think both, you know, the whole thief lore is like an analogy to like our society, like with the different like Christs, Hamorites, and pagans that are seen as the bad, but actually they are not that bad. They blah 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 blah. And I think here it shows again, like there is like the elite. And they like it because what they do there is like good for them. It works for them. It helps them. You know, the lower people, they don't get anything from it. They just pay for it, actually.
Yeah. And the guards are getting replaced.
Right.
And I thought the Hamorite showing up there was also another highlight, and how he was calling them, because I guess at face value, you would think they're kind of like a different sect of the Hamorites, but then they say no, they're like the heretics who are going against, you know, the master builder's will or something like that.
Speak not to me that accursed name.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The famous quote. I have one question. Now you're mentioning this.
Yeah.
Because then he leaves with the guy. They go into the building, right?
Yeah.
Where are they? Where are they later? Because they went into the building and then they were gone.
Yeah, I checked them. I checked it out this time. When they go inside, they disappear. But this only happens on later patches. If you just install the game and don't patch it up, there's a bug, and they would just stay out there.
Right. Okay. I was just wondering. But going back, like to the lore introducing, I think that's a really great job. But you still have to find more clues in the letters, and They are really great in the writings. I think they always nailed it in most letters and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what really came to my eye in this mission is that, and that's what they always do in both games. Like, they never tell you something about where the city could be located on the earth, because like the language is of course for you to understand, so it's translated into your language, but they never mention like real countries and stuff. And then there was a letter mentioning something with units, but there's never any inches, centimeters, yards, or whatever. It's always like just units, the city, blah, 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 blah. You know, they never go give you any clue about if this could be located somewhere.
That's funny. Do you know how we always talked, you know, when we had the speedrun episode and Psychosis would say all the walls are now 2 units thick?
Yeah, yes. Anytime I see that in game now, that's how I think. I think in draw med units, yeah.
maybe it's the official units of the city are the draw med units. Just call
maybe that's an that's very interesting thoughts.
I think the units the readable you're talking about was from the guy that was making the lenses, right?
I think. No. It was somewhere else. I think it was upstairs. I think.
No, I think he's right. I think it's the mechanist leader Sid Capezza. Yeah, Capezza.
Okay. Oh, I don't not remember, lenses. But just yeah. the note was really sticking to my eye.
But yeah, it was a message to the lens grinder and the measurements of the lenses.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, right. I just remembered, like, okay, like, there's no real units mentioned, like, just units, and that's really interesting. What would they maybe have, like, units, centi units, milli units? I don't know.
Listen, I just thought of this. Did you guys, when you started playing this mission and you first came into it, were you like, when you realized that it's a warehouse, maybe a little bit disappointed?
No,
because so far it didn't happen in that way in the Thief games, I think.
But we never had a warehouse till now. Because think of a warehouse. Warehouse is like just a place with different storage units. You're not. I didn't expect to find great variety in with that premise.
I think there is not great variety, actually.
I think there is.
I mean, that's cool, but they still managed to make it interesting.
I think there is. I mean,
there's a lot of variety, yeah, in each storage. You got
the mechanist section.
Yeah. You have the musician, you have the butcher.
Yes, okay, if you'd go on variety of like different storages and different different
items in each and you know, like the flavor.
That's right, but if I just go like from the architecture, like that's what I just thought.
Oh, that's something I wanted to bring up. Like going into all the offices, they're so barren. Like all the rooms, like I was like I forgot this. Like but like I went into the offices, all it is like a square box, one desk, and one chair.
The one guy even has the art guy has a bedroom up there.
Oh, yeah. Like it's like especially in building or what's it called, warehouse B, the offices upstairs, like all they are, yeah.
This really feels like just to be there, right?
Yeah. 4 out of 6 are completely empty.
Yeah, like the things you could get away with, you know, nowadays, like a mission, you know, I feel like the attention to detail when someone's making a fan mission, like you have to kind of decorate it a little, you know, put a painting here, you know, put trims on the wall around. But like back then, you know, like I guess no one really cared.
On the other hand, you have to say, like, of course they had more limits and it's just a warehouse.
That's true.
You know,
that is true. Yeah.
So that's like and they did great with the and there you're right, there is a lot of variety of like the different storage rooms, what they are used for. There's like logical things like the lens maker makes sense, and even the meat, the butcher, but they put an interesting story behind that. And what I as a musician totally always like is like the music studio that looks like a modern music studio, you know, like they have this huge mixer in front, and then there's the window where you can see through, and that was amazing.
And I think when you go inside after you use the cog to unlock it, and I think that was kind of like a hint that that's going to be a mechanic later on,
right?
Which I think
yes. Basically, definitely
using the cogs to open like a key. Basically, when you go inside and you loot the items, I think like a nice little song actually plays. If I heard it correctly,
I don't usually go in there in my casual route, but now that I was checking all the rooms, I was checking it just before we started recording today, but I couldn't get in because the cog is in a different position on normal, and I always play on expert, and I didn't know where the cog was, so I didn't go in.
Yeah, I think on expert it's like right next to it.
On expert it's above the studio. There's like a little.
Is it? I played on expert and it was right next to it.
Yeah, it was right because that's why I didn't find it because I played on expert this time. And so applause. Hey.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was in a different position on normal, and on expert I didn't find it, and then I went all over the place, and then I went back, and then I checked the corner, and I was, oh, it's there.
Yeah, I went all the way back to the mechanist shop because I thought maybe like he was making it for him. I forgot it was literally right there too. I thought on expert they would try to put like a challenge to it, you know?
Because they mention like the lock is from the mechanists,
yeah,
and you need a special key. So I thought, okay, I think this is on a different place that makes sense. Like it's maybe still there or something. Yeah, that. But then it's just there, right, on the mixer.
Yeah, and then you come back and you're like, oh. Okay, it just wasted time.
But to the song, I don't know if the song played. I don't remember.
I'm almost like I just played it like an hour ago before recording, and yeah, it plays like a nice little tune when you collect all the items.
I think we're all gonna go check it out afterwards.
Nope.
I will.
Yeah, last week I started Mission 2 playing, and then I got hit, and then I played through until Mission 7 or 8. Until Bank and Trust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I made notes in between. So, but the bad part about it is that, you know, like little details like that, you don't remember if you don't write that down.
The one thing I do remember from the mission, speaking on the storage units, was the butcher's place.
Yeah, of course, that was always stuck to my mind.
Please explain what
happens there.
You go in there and you immediately are just greeted by a
mention the comment Garrett makes when you read the nameplate at first. Do you know?
He says,
"What's the name of the butcher?" Something with M, and he says, "Oh yeah, I heard he makes the best steaks in town," or something like that.
Sven Meinel.
Sven Meinel. Yeah, important. Yeah, so now I get it. Now I know what he said. No, but he says something like that. He makes the best steaks in town, or he's famous for that. And then you go in there, and now you can say what you see in there.
I think he's like, so this is the secret ingredient or something. And he's like, yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And then and if you don't know by now, it's there's a cage there with spiders. I think there's a couple baby spiders that broke out, actually. And then there's the big one that's inside of it. And then there's there's actually two elevators. I think it's the only storage unit with two elevators.
Yeah, correct.
Going into like separate upstairs rooms. And if you take the one when you enter on the right, it takes you up to like the freezer, and you see all like the dead spider bodies. And it's just like kind of morbid almost.
A little mini game with the key and the safe.
Yeah, I think you had to click on something.
Yeah.
And like the key would fall through like the vent, and then you would climb out through that vent,
yes,
and then come outside, and then go up the other elevator, and it would open up like his safe there, I think.
Was this a bug in the previous patches? Because I remember when I started playing like years ago, whenever I would open the freezer door, I couldn't open it once it closed from the inside.
No, that's intended. That's intended. Yes.
Yeah. I played it today. Maybe because it was a normal, but it does not do that on normal.
I had to reopen it like with a little wall hack, you know, like clicked the right button and moved at the door strangely, and then it opened again, like by pressing the button from the outside. And then I felt really like a speedrunner in that moment, like glitching the game. but yeah, how do you get out there if the door closes?
So there's like the little hanging, like, what do you want to call it? Like a shelf with the dead bodies on the spiders, and you mantle on that, and then you mantle through a vent in the middle that's open now. And
then you get back up. Yes. I think I remember that. Because I had this problem when I was younger, and I was like, no, really?
I'd imagine with old mantle, it was probably awful to get through.
It was really tricky back in the day.
But you could get out if you had the rope arrow.
Yeah, I think there was, because you do have, I think you get a rope arrow, right?
Or yeah, but I didn't have it at that time.
Yeah, there's two of them in the mission.
There's two of them in secrets, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, both are secret, yeah.
That's pretty interesting, actually.
The amount of secrets also on this mission, 13.
There's 14, actually, I think.
14?
Yeah, I played it and I got 11 of 14. I was a little disappointed.
I have two smart asses here now. That's interesting.
There's one of the rope arrows is like next to the shed.
Yeah, in the start.
And then I think the other rope arrow is in warehouse B.
It is on the left side on the bottom. And there's also been a little bit of a change there, because I remember before they moved, because it's in the lockbox, and the lockbox it's preventing you to go.
Yes, you're right. It's preventing you to mantle there, and you have to break through the skylight, I think.
Yeah. Or there was a trick. I'm not sure who invented it, but there was a trick with two rope arrows where you could kind of jump on one, and then you could jump across that lockbox by grabbing onto the rope on the other side. But mm-hmm. that trick's, it's the lockbox has been moved now. You can easily just walk past it now.
That's another thing I like about this mission is it is they incorporated the mantling mechanic a lot in the warehouses. So there's like a lot of like you mantle on top of these boxes to get in like this little nook that's like hidden, you know, and you get like a little lockbox out of it that has like a nice little loot item. Or in the case of Expert, it has the spice bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really make you to like go everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to, I think you can even just the loot goal you can already achieve in just the first building, right? I think I did it before I got to the second one.
I know there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of loot in the warehouse B, the upstairs room.
Next
with like all the...
Next, how much is there to the max? You know this details, don't you?
I think it's 850. Maximum is 1,000.
Not the goal, but maximum you can get.
I think it's 1,665, I think.
Yes, you're correct. Yeah. And I think 850 is the expert required.
Yes, and it's like half of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's easily obtainable. I know I skipped a lot of loot in the building.
Especially with the secrets, yeah.
Yeah, but the couple of artifacts in the artifact warehouse storage in warehouse B, they're worth a lot.
Yeah. The upstairs. That's what I was gonna get at. The lost city like looking relics. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I think is really important from this mission for the fan missions is Captain Davidson. Because he's like a character that is not described very well in the original mission, but he's like a smuggler. And so he brought like to many authors like a character that hasn't been described as well. So they can easily be creative and make up like things about him. But he's like something from the original game. So that adds to the lore, you know?
So you're saying like how Truward or Basso were used in other missions? You haven't seen Davidson yet?
No, I have seen him a lot.
Really?
So, but he's
talking in fan missions. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So and he really made a good addition for fan missions later on, because like his character is not so well known. So authors can be creative and you know make their own stories about it, but they already have like a character that's already existed in the original.
Yeah,
You know,
I haven't
I think
played
that's
too
really...
many fan missions, but I haven't seen Davidson yet. Or
yeah, you
I
know,
love,
I have played 800, 600 missions. I don't know, so yeah, I've seen some with Davidson.
It's quite a number,
and his ship was also like. Probably one of the tougher, I think, in my opinion, places in the map to kind of ghost through. If I
remember. Oh yeah,
I think there's a guard on there, or they patrol onto there from the bridge.
There's like a
ladder on the back end, right?
Yeah. There's a ladder on the back end, and the guy that's standing on the ship, that's Davidson himself.
I think he patrols.
I thought so too, but I
doesn't he say he's going to the city?
I think I knocked him out in Warehouse B, and I got his key. Like, he's the only one with the key.
Perhaps.
All right, you might be right.
I think he does some patrol, but he might, like, stand there for a couple minutes and then patrol or something. But, yeah.
Oh, so you think... No, I think that... I think maybe he goes back there when you take his key. Because at the start, I know that there are two smugglers that are patrolling. But later on, I don't really recall the second one going in. So that might... But no, because the guy on the ship has a spice on his belt.
What was really stupid that, you know, once you get his key, you can open everything on the ship.
Yeah,
like, everything. You know, he just has that one key, and if it gets lost in the sea, you can't open his crates, you can't open his door, nothing.
Yeah, the two secrets behind the banners, you can't open those like crates. I think you can't open like all of the spice crates, you can't open without it.
Yeah, I think. But you know, but it was like, really every crate openable with just that one key, that doesn't make sense. But hey, it's better than like having like multiple keys all the time.
That's a pet peeve, is multiple keys.
Really?
Cycling through them. Yeah, it's so annoying, like cycling through all the keys.
I usually try to return the key once I don't like it, but having like two keys being available in the mission, so I can choose which one do I want to take, it can kind of, I like that option.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, of course, options are always great, but sometimes, you know, like cycling through the keys and looking which one is the right one. And I think in the original missions, they many keys were just keys, you know, not named.
I think many FMs
today like do a service for you, like telling you what it's for. There it was like, but Davidson's key is named, so you know.
There's the one key that's near the console where you type in like the digits, the one in Warehouse A, the main console. And I don't think that one has a name. So for the longest time, I had no idea what it opened, and I saw these like little sheds on like the outside of the map, and I just tried it on them, and then I like got in, and I was like, oh, for the whole, like, I swear, like the first two times I played the mission, I was just going back and forth to the main console every time I wanted to open a new warehouse for my storage unit, and I was like, this is tedious.
Yeah,
but I think when I was like 20 years ago, I did the same, but after a while, I remembered all the numbers because I replayed this mission so much because I liked it so much, and then I got the numbers in my head. It's not working today anymore. I have to look it up, but I was feeling really cool.
Yeah,
but I think now we can like go back, like with the routes you be taken. I think we didn't cover yours fully, Psycho, and we didn't talk about next. Anyways, you know, so maybe we can go on there now. Now we have the premise.
Yes.
So, Psycho, have you been finished, or is there more for your route or route? What is it? Route? Route?
Well, I mean, it's kind of free-flowing, right? Like, I just kind of go... Like, I always enter in through the skylight first, but then after that, like, I just kind of go where the... wherever the wind takes me, I guess. Warehouse B, I find, is usually a lot easier to clear. So I and the ship. So I kind of do those first, actually, before I go back to Warehouse A.
Because for me, it's totally different, because I'm like, okay, I want to finish this first, because after a while, I get a bit annoyed by all the doors and, you know, and all the elevators and secret places, and when I'm like, okay, then I can make a check mark, and then I go to B, this is easy, then I go to the ship, bloop, And then I throw the crate into the water, mantle up at the hills, and then the mission is done for me. Like everyone did, you know? So what next? Next, what is your way to do the mission in general?
Well, when I first started playing the mission, I kind of liked the mission, and then before I began to love it again, I hated it, and it's because of those doors and the tedious nature of it. And now my route is a little bit different. And you know, I usually grab the arrow at the start, and then I would go, then I'd go up. Do I drop? I drop into the through the sky door just to get the building A key. Though I don't think perhaps I next time I don't need it. It's a very risky. All the routes of getting outside are very risky. The patrolling accountant there would notice you quickly, and there are many guards and expert. So I just found out that you can jump outside by using the slow fall, because if you use the slow fall and jump, it's gonna allow you to jump higher.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to get out from there. And from there on, I would grab a crate and.
Of course.
There's the skylight, and there are the doors leading to the stairs. And next to it, there's a fence. And I mantle on top of the fence, and then you have the access on the roofs of building A.
Yes.
And then I'll just go and do the building B, because you don't trigger the patrols with the two commoners that are talking about spices. You don't trigger those.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, the two civilians, right?
So yeah. I'll just do the B warehouse and then return.
Okay. What I did after visiting the gallery most times, I got up the, you know, like the unofficial way that, you know, what is it called? Where they can throw down things from the second floor. You know, like the wooden thing with metal.
Oh, floor. The chute. The chute.
Yeah. Is it called the chute? Okay. Yeah, you know, like where they can.
Like the metal pipe. And yes. Like bottom of it is like the wooden box. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I always go up there, you know, because as a child, I felt like really, really thievy that way.
Yeah, right. Like climbing through that.
Yeah. And well, then later I found out like the skylight that was later. And, you know, this mission made me so proud. And I think you have a total different feeling for this mission if you played it in that young years, you know, and it was really a challenge. Like today it's nothing. But
yeah.
Back in the day, but it was, and that's something they really did great. Like it was a challenge, and still it was manageable. You know, like you like just like a quarter of the loot you need to a normal difficulty, and that's really good. Like, but you can grab so much more. And I replayed it because at that time I was scared. Every mission I was scared of the next mission, because I always thought that now there will be a zombie level now, but it never came. And so yeah, I fell in love with that game.
I'm very this mission I didn't like in the middle there, because as I said, because of those doors, and it's still surprising to me that that the guards don't alert to the opening of the huge bay doors. Yeah. It's like evening. Who would open those things, right?
Garrett,
yeah. And it's like nobody notices, and the machine is very loud when this is opened, and it's just.
That's back to the gamey part, you know. Like
yeah.
The same with the key, with Davidson's key. Yes, it doesn't make sense, but at the end, it's still a game, I think. But yeah, that's a problem. Like if you have such a great lore and you put so much thought in so many things, and the game mechanics are about noises. Of course, people like recognize this and they'll be like, hey, wait, that doesn't, you know, I can't drop.
That's not supposed to open. Yeah.
I can't drop a plate on a floor. They, you know, all guards like will be, what was that? But I can open those big doors like a dinosaur screaming and yeah. No one recognizes. Like, yeah. Of course.
And I hate that there's no other way. I mean, even if you would go
top floor
like, anywhere, you just can't enter any other way.
I think they wanted to show you a mechanic here. I don't know. That's the only reason I can
They wanted to play with the transforming mechanic that they have on the doors, like the opening animation.
Well, but you don't see them.
most of the time you don't, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, we there is now another way to get into those doors, and it's with keyholing.
Yes.
And keyholing.
We do that in the speedrun. Yeah, we just.
But can we like maybe stick to and like how it's intended to
be played? Yeah,
because I think all those cheating mechanics are not like paying respect to the mission, because then I could say like every mission, psychosis. How many seconds did it take you to do the mission? Like
that's a cool fact. I mean, I. That's when I started to play the mission again, when I found out about keyholing. Because before keyholing, after playing that mission for, let's say, more than five times, yeah. I would say, like, because whenever I would have to open the doors, it's like it breaks my immersion so much that
The keyholing is working for you.
Yeah, it's just I feel like I'm a better lock picker than your average thief. That's why.
So could you please again explain what this mechanic is, so everyone can like make their own decision, like this feels more realistic or not?
Sure. Yeah. So lockpicking is an engine exploit where you can. I think it's counted as an engine exploit.
You mean keyholing?
Keyholing, yeah, and. What you do is if the lockbox of the door is close enough to the door that you could actually use it from the other side, yeah. If you would look directly into it, you can use it even though it's behind the door.
Yeah, it like highlights the lockbox or the lock on the other side, and you're able to use the key.
So yeah. I think that's like pretty double standards on realism expectations.
Well, I mean, for me, it's always weighting one versus the other, right? Do I want to like excuse this behavior when I'm playing, or will I just open the big metal doors? And to me, it's always...
You don't jump into water because you make the floor wet, but then you can put your arm through a wall and turn it up on your hand 180 degrees and lockpick from the like Garrett is hugging a wall like in between the bricks, and then he lockpicks like that.
What can I say? I'm just good at it.
Okay.
I will say though, like the mechanic where you have to go through the first floor first for those storage units, and then you get the elevators inside of them to go upstairs. That's that. Yeah, I can agree that that's kind of a not redundant, but a tedious mechanic after like the first couple.
Yeah, I'm never opening those again.
The one with the museum or the art gallery where you had to, I think it's stuck upstairs, and the first floor doesn't have the button, so you have to like shoot it with the arrow. I think that's how I do it usually.
If I aim right, I could hit that button with an arrow.
Yeah, yeah, and that's teaching you. That's another like great like game design almost is that they're teaching you, like, hey, you can interact. Like I think they did this in the first game too in Lost City. You could hit the button from across the river with an arrow, and I think here they're trying to teach you it again. Like, hey, you know, if you ever see a button out of reach, you know, you could hit it and see what happens.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that's so weird to me. And whenever I see Supreme Ghosters use that, it's like they will avoid like they name their like we name the style ghosting, or like Supreme Ghosting. We like you know like nothing was ever there, And just like the doors, but these doors are not like present in every mission. But the elevators are in many, many missions. And I hate that, you know, as soon as I walk on metal railing, it's going to make a lot of noise and guards are going to attract to that. But I can use the elevator like nonstop. And
yeah. And these sounds are annoying as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Too much to the player, because you know, I think this is a game with what you play pretty loud on your headphones in best case, because like you want to hear like noises from far away. And then like I think when I first time I experienced an elevator in the game, for I think it must have been Thief One, I was totally like, what happens, you know? And I don't like that. And of course you're totally right, but I think there's like, and we should make like an extra episode about this one time, like all those things that don't make sense, because you know, like suddenly, you know, there are two guards maybe always crossing their patrol routes, and suddenly one is gone, you know, like, and the other doesn't make an effort, like, yes, well, maybe he's gone. And you're like, those are all things that doesn't, that don't make sense for realism. But yeah, I don't know. On the other hand, it's like, if they would make them very silent, people would say like, do you really think that back in this time, even if it's just a fictive steampunk setting, that those elevators wouldn't make a lot more sound than, you know, they do in the game, you know? So it's like always like, there's always something that's not right, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like industrial age, and yeah, there will be very loud the elevators. But still, I if I can, I will always avoid them, just because, you know, the game doesn't need to tell me that, you know, the guard has alerted you to yeah, make a mechanic not okay for me, because you know, at the end of the day, you kind of want to be immersed into that. And to that other world, and everything that will break it, just avoid it.
Yeah, but I come from a totally other point of view. Like I say, like, but this takes another fun out for me, because I like the exploration stuff, and I don't want to, you know, put myself onto a leash, you know, like just because for reasons, for a game that doesn't look really realistic for my eyes today. And of course, the immersion is still pretty great. But I don't know. You know, I try, or I avoid those thoughts because they take the fun out of for me. And they kill my immersion then, you know. Yeah. So I ignore it and I just take it as it is. You know, there is like fireballs in the games, you know, look at the arrows, water arrows, a rope arrow, how should that work, you know, the tip of the arrow just goes into the wood like a centimeter, it should break or it will always fall out. Garrett has like he can carry like whole furniture of rooms with himself, you know, and it doesn't make a sound.
Yeah
Forums, someone was once mentioning, I like this idea, that he should have like a magic bag, you know, where everything like the ghost trap from Ghostbusters, you know, where it goes like into a dimension, and that's a very interesting thought.
Yeah, I was always surprised that, you know, like when you said the rope arrows that are not realistic, he could have had a rope and a hook instead of that.
Yeah, but I think the mechanic would have been hard to implement.
Correct, yeah. It would take more time.
I think for that time, how the arrows worked, like stuck into like a surface out of specific material and then climb it up, I think this was pretty, I think this took them a lot of time to implement that. I'm pretty sure. So I can imagine that this was the easier solution. Or what do you say?
That's probably the bread and butter, of the climbing mechanics, and they didn't want to probably throw that away, you know, for the sake of realism.
They did in Thief 3, and everyone hated it, you know.
Yeah, They actually threw it away and then gave you something even worse, like climbing gloves.
Or, it was so whatever. Stupid. I always imagined how they are. Do they look like frog hands or something?
Like, are you just climbing up like Spider-Man? Like, I always hated those climbing gloves. So this
and
is,
it
like,
was so slow.
Yeah.
I've heard that the rope arrows in Thief 3 were... Were you talking about Thief 3?
Deadly Shadows, yes.
I heard they were discarded due to time constraints. They just couldn't make them.
I think so. I think that's what Randy told.
And they were implemented by a fan later.
In the dark mod, I think, yeah.
No, not in the dark mod. That was the, there is, you can, I saw that. I played that by myself. Rope arrows in the Thief 3 Deadly Shadows game. Someone implemented this for something. I don't know. But this was available later. And the dark mode, yes, there they were really great. I like this mechanic there. They've done a good job with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually,
yeah.
The dark mode will be another topic. But and Thief 4, they totally effed it up.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we give you this, but we totally ignore what freedom this item actually gave you and why it was so amazing. You can just put it. Look there it is. The white thing. Put it in there. And if I put the rope arrow next to, nope, just there. Okay, and it wasn't fun. So
no, it wasn't.
But back to mission two. Is there like a lot more to cover for you, or something like really really important for the lore or something? There's the first camera eye.
Yes.
That's really surprising, actually, because they didn't put it in like a special place. It's just there, out of nothing.
It's just there, and then there's the on-off switch, like in the most easiest spot to hit it.
Another teaching you the game mechanics.
Yeah, that like I feel like the first couple of missions, were just kind of like almost an extended tutorial, in a way.
I like how it was foreshadowed by the. Where the guard speaks to a dock worker, the guard not the guard but the dock worker says that in the city he found one of those mechanical faces. I think it was Dayport, but he found those mechanical faces, and he says it in such uncomfortable tone that the mechanical faces were watching him, and it made him.
I'm comfortable,
and that was. I found that very good because you know that when the machines are watching us, it's a good theme. I think.
You know, my mic just dropped. Mic drop. I think for the first missions in Thief 2, they really listened to the criticism. Like from fans and magazines, because so many people said like the supernatural stuff is too much. The introduction to the game is not really good. It's really, you know, hard to figure out. Especially like I said in the last episode about Mission 1, like whole mechanic, the whole of playing was such a new thing. You know, there was nothing comparable.
Yeah.
And they did a great job of introducing new players to this. So I think now they really, really tried really hard. And I think they didn't overdo it too much. So there is the switch, and it's really stupid. Like, okay, there's no challenge about it. Like, everyone can just turn it on and off, like, just for fun. But I think they tried to put as many mechanics into the first missions so they don't have to explain it over the whole game, so then they can just go for like, here we've settled everything for you can learn everything and now just play. That's my idea. I think that's what they thought.
I think that's definitely what they tried to do with the first couple missions, was kind of teach you the game mechanics slowly, because like you said in the first game, I feel like they gave you that training mission, quote unquote, that didn't really do much at all.
Yes.
And then they just dropped you in Baffert's.
That's exactly what I said in this episode, right?
Yeah. I mean, they do tell you, I think, in Baffert's, like, there's a stash of, like, ammo here on the map. They give you a very detailed map, so at least kind of makes up for it. But yeah, like, they just kind of drop you there and just say, have fun. You know, and in Thief 2, they kind of were like, okay, we're gonna try to ease you into the game mechanics a little bit with each level.
Yeah, and they really tried hard. You see that, you know, you can see like the intention about all of this.
Yeah.
But still, and that's another thing, like, you don't have to go there, so you can miss out these parts.
Yeah.
So that's like a, you know, like, it doesn't fit together for me, because a player that maybe goes everywhere is more skilled at that point, I think. So he maybe doesn't need to be taught in that simple ways. But a player that's maybe not so brave at that time, which what I wasn't, I never got, you know. So I never saw things like that. Like years later, I found like that there is a camera eye, because I never got there because I was too scared. You know, like, because I just did the basic stuff. Oh, I have 450. I can leave now, you know.
Yeah.
And then when in mission 3, which where we will go in a couple of minutes, I think. Then there were suddenly, oh, I can't. What is that thing doing there with the cannons? You know, like, whoa. But yeah, they did a good thing. So, is there a lot more to cover about mission 2 next? I think you have something.
Yeah, I did find a very kinky secret in this
Norman
mission.
Druid.
That, oh yeah, good point. Is he mentioned?
Sorry, I always interrupt. Sorry.
Don't worry. I think he's not mentioned yet in mission 2.
No, he is. Norman Druid, not Gordon Druid. Norman.
Correct, yeah.
No. Is it Gordon Druid? No, Norman Druid, right?
Norman Druid, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys.
And he's mentioned in the place that I'm about to say. And this all happens in Lord Porter's office, which is also a fine art for sale. So it's the gallery that we've been speaking about. And yeah, through the readables, we can find out that apparently noises are coming from the Lord Porter's office late at night. Yeah. This is a complaint from the guy below him. And we know that Lord Porter has bed in the upstairs office. So there's also a note which states which appointments he made. And there's a couple. And Norman Druid is mentioned, and some other guy is suspected of being an undercover blue coat. So something sort of illegal is happening here, but we don't know what, right? But going through the game files, I found another message from Lord Porter. But I was unable to find it in-game, and I think it's not in-game. But there it is. And it has some some weird things to it. I'll read you a couple. It's just like the other readable when it says today's appointments. But in this message, they're described in more detail. And let's say, I'm just going to read it out. John Liberte. His usual dirty things. Chris Leskowski, cuddling and dirty pillow talk. James Gager, the usual. Adam Ellis, new client, charge discount, whatever. Mark Ulici, find a reason, suspected blue coat, whatever. Norman Druid, intense relaxation therapy. Jarrett Brunel, tickling and whipping. Mistress Carey, domination training. And Sean DeJesus, the bouncing Burrick, was requested. So,
oh my.
But I think I read this in game.
Did you?
With the tickling that rings a bell.
Really?
Yes.
Because the other message mentions all these people, and some of them are similar. Like the find a reason to refuse him. I think he's an undercover blue coat.
Yeah. But the tickling thing, was this in your maybe hidden message?
Yeah, I haven't found this message.
But I think I read it.
Because, so it must be in game.
But maybe I don't know on which New Dark you played it. Maybe it's maybe, you know, this former, maybe former hidden letter is now put into, you know, they changed them, maybe.
Maybe.
It's because the tickling thing, I was confused, like, what's so, you know, like, it sounds so strange. Like serious matters, and then it's like tickling. Like
it is actually
serious matters. It was cuddling in dirty pillow talk.
Yeah, I looked it up. It actually is in game. It's in the secret room.
It is?
Yeah.
Yes, right behind the bookshelf, right?
No, but it's in building A.
Yes, right.
Second floor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but isn't it Easter there where you go version. Through the light, through the sky,
the, book.
The window?
No, that's
same of it. But I know that it was there.
Oh, it might. You might have to get through it to a window. All I know right now is that it actually is in the mission, so it's not like some sort of deleted, you know, readable or something. It's you can find it, the scroll in the mission. But
maybe you'll just see it when you Supreme Ghost like me. You know, I don't know next. Sorry.
Maybe. I just run by it, maybe. So, you know, I can't.
Yeah. Maybe I haven't gone. I haven't found it. Well, at least in this playthrough. But I don't remember any time any being this dirty in the original game. So I suppose I never found it.
But it is there because the tickling thing, I remembered that.
A nice little slightly shocking message.
What's really great when you just mention like letters, the letters refer to each other so much. Like someone's talking about a person this, and then you read another letter, like the person, you know, talking about the same. Like, you know, I think this was really great done in that mission. Like mm-hmm. There's so much connectivity between the notes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, and that is, I think, they maybe, as you said, like, oh, maybe it's just a dog thing, like just the dogs, like just such a basic thing. But I think they added another creativity, like, you know, with all the different storages, like for different uses, and everything is put together so well. That's like a little, you know, like a little micro universe just in that dogs, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think a little city.
Yeah, it actually it's like, you know, like a you concentrated, you know, like things you basically find in a city mission, like in a vast environment, and here it's like just concentrated, but it makes sense because they it's all about money, it's all about economy, and of course they have their dirty little secrets, and they are like neighbors next to each other, and that's really cool. I like those things in fan missions as well, when you have like a building with many apartments that you can maybe visit all of them, and then there's often like
there's little, like notes in between the tenants, yeah.
That's such a great it's simple, but first you have to get the ideas to create them.
Yeah.
It adds so much to this, and yeah, that's yes, shipping and receiving is like it's an amazing mission. And I think this mission is like a prototype mission for so many fan missions.
Oh yeah, I opened up a Pandora's box.
So many ideas came from that that people like got inspired from.
Yep. Well, definitely.
So what else, dudes?
Well, besides the crate thing that I discovered, there's...
Oh, I don't remember that. Did we ever mention this?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but not in this episode.
Oh, you just want to mention it again. Yeah.
I know, but not really. I didn't, get into context.
Yeah, anybody that's interested in that, you should listen to my rambling message at the end of previous episodes.
Just listen the whole episode with Psychosis, and somewhere there is a hidden message.
Won't tell you where, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there. You better listen to every second of it.
Yeah. From top to bottom. So, because I think, like, you know, 1 hour emission is a good thing. So, yeah. Nexus writing done. That's good.
Thanks, buddy. Supposed to be secret.
Yeah, I'm not that hideous. I'm just transparent to the listeners. So, but no shit-shedding. Thanks for listening. See you, Teffers. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Nothing back here I care about.